Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, grace to you and peace, that's blessed to be a blessing when we say that. We've heard it many times, and we say this, and then the also with you. That's our way of being a blessing, blessing and sharing that person that shared that blessing is a blessing back. Well, I love telling this story, so some of you have heard it. I probably have shared it in a sermon, but you know, a good story in your family, they get told over and over again, right? This story is about the first time my son saw me weeding in the backyard. He was about 5 years old, very inquisitive, as five-year-olds are. The why daddy questions still happen, but at 5 years old, what's that? Why is this? What's going on? Who's that? What are they doing? You know how it is. Everybody remembers that five-year-old inquisitive questioning everything, wondering about the world, and dad has all the answers, right? But in weeding, I quickly realized that my answers did not translate to any other part of my life, and it really started to disturb me. I couldn't help but notice that the answers to my question, if we weren't talking about weeds, were very much not what I like to be saying. What are you doing, Daddy? Weeding. What's weeding? It's where you take the plants out that don't belong. Into our world. Well, Daddy, why don't some belong? They don't look like the other ones, and we want them to look alike? No, I don't want to tell my five-year-old that. Because if you leave them in here, they'll start taking over. No. Because it's easier if they are alike. And pretty soon you hear yourself and you feel like a racist Nazi as you talk about weeding your own garden. Well, I still weed. But the questions in the real world still persist, don't they? It's not a new problem either. She doesn't belong here. Get her out of here. Go back to your own kind. It's a disturbing story, but I'm not quoting the news today. I'm quoting Scripture. That's right. And it wasn't the Nazis or even the Romans that said it. It was the disciples. Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us, the disciples yell out. They are mad because she isn't like them. And they have their plates full as they are figuring out how to help out their own people. Even Jesus seems annoyed and says it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Some people say Jesus was testing her, but let that sink in for a moment, that statement. It's not very comfortable. And then in Scripture, these beautiful words, but persisting, the woman said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." One commentator looking at this Scripture said, "One thing is certain. Never underestimate the power of a persistent woman and the God in whom she believes." Yeah, call me a dog if you will, but I seek justice. I seek mercy. Beautiful words. And so we can look and see that, but this sermon series is the story of you. And the topic is compassion. And as we look at our world then and now, well, compassion seems like a good topic. Because we are called to look at the suffering of all people and the possible gifts that exist as well in all of God's children. We're called to struggle with Scripture like this, to seek to understand the blessing that can be gained from it. And I got to admit, this is a tough story. But there are blessings. And characters. I think we can relate to this story, to all of those in this story. We have the disciples to start with. We see them as, well, they're rightly or wrongly, they don't have time to talk to someone else. And at worst, when we read this story, they are downright xenophobic and racist. And at best, they do lack compassion and are certainly caught up in themselves. I think that, though, if we examine ourselves, we have to admit that sometimes we do relate to them. We examine ourselves and we see that while it's important to stand for justice, we also must humble ourselves to realize the many faults that we have. That many times we think we're standing with Jesus. We think we're doing exactly what we are called to do. And many days we are getting in the way or even hindering a blessing that should be happening. And that finally, though we are called to discipleship, we must rest on God's grace. Because we're never going to be enough on our own. And we are always enough with God's grace. And then there's the woman. This woman. What do we do? How do we relate to this woman in the story? Not just relate in helping her, but being her. Well, I can ask the questions. How many times have you asked that question and wondered, wow, I don't think I'm enough. I don't even know if I belong here. How many times have we struggled to know how to speak up? Perhaps not as bravely as this woman. Perhaps we've just walked away. Or how many times have we actually seen this woman and wept because we didn't know how, didn't know what we could do to respond, but knew that our hearts were crying out to respond? She needs justice in the world. Are my hands going to be helpful? Finally, in the story, we see Christ. And I have to first acknowledge that I'm not really satisfied with this glimpse of Jesus. It's probably my least favorite image of Christ in all of the scriptures. It doesn't fit my view of who Jesus is, so I'm unsettled with it. I understand why some scholars look and say, well, he must be testing them. But, in the story of you and me, I do pray that like Christ in this story, my heart can be opened up to new ways to come together. And in that, maybe we can see what the early church was thinking when they shared this story at all. Maybe they saw this as a turning point in their own understanding, their view of who God is. For we, as reflections of Christ Jesus, have fallen short and will fall short of reaching the goals we've mapped out. Our game plans will get trashed, and we will fall on our faces. But the Holy Spirit will always help us to see new ways. The Holy Spirit will open our eyes to a new way, and it might be a woman that wanders in and says, help me, give me a blessing. There are better ways, ways that our eyes will be opened to by the outsider. As we pray for compassion in this world, we remind ourselves what compassion is. Compassion, two Latin words. The first word is this root word of com, which you also see in words like compare, which means together or with. And passion, a word that came to the Latin language from Jesus Christ, which means suffering. With the suffering. That's what we're called to when we say we seek compassion. We seek to be with the suffering. We seek to know, to understand, to lift up, to walk with. And as we look at our world today, as we look at all of the struggles in our world today, we can focus on who to blame, and there's certainly a lot of blame to go around. But more importantly, as Christians, we are called to look with compassion on this world that Jesus loved, on all involved, and see them as children of God, speak for truth and justice. We must stand up against the oppressor at all times, make no mistake. But we also must name the God that we believe in, that knows that sometime we too have been the oppressor. And this God looks upon us with love. It's not always easy. It is often messy. But the gift we have is we believe in a God that can stand above all of the struggles that we have, the strife that we have, but looks at our messy world and says, I will not abandon you. I love you. And that grace we stand upon. Finally, we look upon all of this in the story of you, and we continue to simply pray. Pray for clarity in how we ourselves can respond in this world. So let's pray. Gracious God, teach us compassion. Open our hearts to see the gifts in others around us. Help us to lift up those who need lifting up. Help us to speak out against racism, violence, and bigotry in our world. Help us to build relationships where we can build relationships. And help us to be a reflection of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please join us in our sacred space in all the ways that we can respond to God's word.